Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Systemair first quarter 2016 financial results call on the 2nd of June 2016. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press star zero on your telephone for operator assistance. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future financial performance of Systemair. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intent, will, could, may, or might, the negative of such terms or similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date or to reflect the occurrences of unanticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, deteriorating economic and credit conditions, or our competitive environment, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market change in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to Systemair in its operations. I will now hand the conference over to Evgeny Chuikov. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone, to our first quarter 2016 results call. Before we commence, let me introduce you to our key speakers. Online with us today, we have Mikhail Shamolin, our President and CEO, Vsevolod Rozanov, Senior Vice President and CFO of Systemair, and myself, Evgeny Chuikov, Head of Communications. Before we start, let me draw your attention to the fact that you can find our presentation on our website at www.systemair.ru, and I will now hand over the call to Mikhail for his comments. Mikhail, over to you.
Thank you for joining us today. Our performance in the first quarter demonstrates that we are well on track to further increase asset value and cash-generating capabilities of our portfolio companies. Systemair's revenue rose by 3% year-on-year, with 10 out of 13 key assets delivering top-line growth. Adjusted OEBDA remained stable year-on-year, with an OEBDA margin of 26%, and I'm very pleased to report that all of our key assets were profitable on the OEBDA level. MTS once again outperformed its peers in a very competitive environment as it continues to grow its subscriber base, retail sales, and revenues from data services. Systemair's major growth drivers are concentrated in the non-listed part of the portfolio, which contributed 38% to consolidated revenue and 9% to OEBDA for the quarter. Children's goods retailer Detski Mir delivered 35% revenue growth year-on-year, becoming our second largest asset by revenues, as it expanded its retail chain to almost 430 stores. We fully support the company's strategy to further increase its market share by opening new stores while maintaining competitive pricing and keeping strong focus on operating efficiency. Our pulp and paper holding Segezha boosted revenues by 40% due to both organic growth and consolidation of Lesosibirsk LDK number 1, one of Russia's largest vertically integrated wood processing enterprises located in Siberia's Krasnoyarsk region. This acquisition was significantly strengthened Segezha's wood processing segment, making it the biggest producer of sawn timber in Russia. We see a great potential to increase LDK's contribution to Segezha's revenues and OEBDA. Segezha continues to maximize its cost advantages as it increased the share of its own lodging in volumes of raw wood consumed to 68% as compared to 53% in the first quarter last year. The company is implementing an extensive CapEx program budgeted at over 40 billion rubles over the course of next 3 years. Key projects underway are the modernization and expansion of paper production, as well as building new capacities in plywood production and wood processing. We expect that these investments combined with Segezha's unique capacity to control production costs will result in a significant increase of the holding market share globally, as well as its shareholder value. Targin, Systemair's oil field services holding, demonstrated solid revenue growth of 18% year-on-year with expanding client portfolio and market share in Russia. Targin is one of the few local market players in Russia that consistently invests in modernizing of its drilling rigs and developing new technologies, which will continue positively contribute positively to both the scale and profitability of this business going forward. Our Indian telecommunications subsidiary, SSTL, broke even on the OIBDA level in the quarter, which represents an important milestone as we have delivered on our promise to improve the asset's performance. Today, we continue to work towards completing the merger of SSTL's business with Reliance Communications. The transaction is subject to final approvals from the Rajasthan and Bombay High Courts, as well as from the Department of Telecommunications of India. We expect respective decisions to be made in the third quarter of 2016. Our banking subsidiary, MTS Bank, also closed the quarter with a positive OIBDA due to a reduction in provision charges and improved risk profile of its loan book. We continue to expect the bank to further improve its performance and consistently break even by the first quarter of 2017. Over the past few months, we maintained a strong investment momentum in agriculture. We continue to believe that this sector offers exceptional growth opportunities based on Russia's structural advantages, such as low cost of land and import substitution, which is supported by a weaker ruble and import bans. In May, our subsidiary, AgroHolding Step, agreed to purchase several crop production businesses in the Rostov and Stavropol regions, thus nearly doubling our total land bank to approximately 250,000 hectares. We are very excited by this investment, and we see the potential to boost production and OIBDA of this business through introducing more sophisticated operational management and advanced agricultural techniques. These acquisitions put Sistema well on track to building Russia's leading agro-holding with a land bank of at least 500,000 hectares. While we maintain our focus on increasing the value of our portfolio, our strategic priorities for 2016 remain optimization of leverage and increasing shareholder returns. As you know, in April, Sistema's Board of Directors approved a new dividend policy, which states that the dividend for each reporting year will be at a minimum the higher of either an amount equivalent to a dividend yield of 4% or 67 kopecks per share, 0.67 ruble. We believe that this new policy improves transparency around our returns to shareholders and creates a strong foundation for building Sistema's progressive dividend story going forward. I would also like to highlight that in May, we took an important step to further align the interests and motivation of Sistema's management team with those of our investors. We adopted a new program for senior management to participate in the share capital of Sistema and group companies. This program provides that heads of Sistema's investment portfolios will be required to make a one-off investment of a substantial part of their total annual income into existing assets under their management and also a part of their income in each of the newly acquired assets under their management at acquisition. Heads of Sistema's functional subdivisions will be obliged to invest a substantial part of their income in Sistema's shares. First acquisitions of shares and interest in Sistema and group companies under the program will be made by our team later this month. We believe that this co-investment mechanism is a perfect motivational tool for Sistema as an investment company, as it ensures maximum focus on making the best investment and monetization decisions, as well as unlocking the value of our assets. I am confident that this program positions us perfectly to deliver on our strategy of developing cash-generative businesses and creating value for shareholders. I will now hand over the call to Vsevolod Rozanov for financial overview.
Thank you, Mikhail, and again, thank you all for joining us today. As Mikhail has said, our portfolio companies delivered strong performance in the first quarter of this year. Sistema's total revenues increased by 3.3% year-on-year to 173 billion rubles, supported by the strong growth at our largest assets, MTS, Detsky Mir, and Segezha Group. Altogether, 10 of our 13 key assets increased their revenues during the reporting period. The group's adjusted OIBDA was substantially flat year-on-year, while on quarter-on-quarter basis it increased by 24.3%. All of our major consolidated assets were profitable on EBITDA level, while SSTL and MTS Bank demonstrated significant year-on-year EBITDA improvements, and both assets broke even on EBITDA level. The group's adjusted EBITDA margin was 25.5% in the reporting quarter, compared to 26.4% in the same period of 2015, and 18.5% in the fourth quarter of 2015. Group's SG&A expenses increased by 8.6% year-on-year to 37.4 billion rubles due to consolidation of new assets and expansion of operations, which in particular led to higher SG&A expenses at MTS, DSK Mir, and Segezha Group. That said, we were successful in reducing our SG&A to revenue ratio year-on-year at several of our key subsidiaries, including MTS, DSK Mir, and MSC, thanks to our continued focus on cost discipline across our subsidiaries. At the corporate center, we have SG&A expenses under control. They rose by 7.3% in the quarter, which was still lower than inflation. We continue to prioritize cost control at both group and corporate center levels in 2016. Expenditures at the group level in the first quarter were down 29% year-on-year and 28% quarter-on-quarter, primarily due to the budgeted reduction of investments at MTS in 2016. Out of our largest subsidiaries, we expect an increase in CapEx at Segezha, which invests into new production capacity in order to further leverage its cost advantages and expand in the key business segments. Other largest subsidiaries including MTS, are planning CapEx reduction in 2016 compared to the previous year. Now let me briefly discuss our debt and liquidity positions. The group's total debt position decreased quarter on quarter to 521 billion rubles. The majority of the group's loans continue to be denominated in rubles, with the share of ruble loans staying relatively stable at about 60% since the end of the third quarter of 2014. The corporate center debt decreased by 5.4% compared to the end of 2015 and amounted to 110.6 billion rubles, excluding the liabilities under put option on our assets. Debt at the corporate level is largely public, consisting of euro bonds denominated in U.S. dollars as well as ruble-denominated bonds. At the end of the first quarter, the share of dollar debt was 37%, comparing to 43% for the corresponding period of 2015, excluding the liabilities under put option on SSTL shares. However, with hedges including the share of dollar debt, included the share of dollar debt stands at just 28%. To diminish foreign currency exposure, the corporate center has hedged in full all U.S. dollar-denominated payments related to 2016 and partly payments related to 2017, and aims to hedge till the end of 2016 the rest of respective installments relating to 2017. As of the end of the reporting quarter, our liquidity position remained comfortable, as we had a cash position of 33.8 billion rubles, excluding an additional 29.9 billion rubles in deposits, which are expected to be monetized within the year 2016. Debt level optimization continues to be our priority for 2016, as we target to reduce total corporate center debt, including liabilities under put options, over our assets and the SSTL's debt by at least 40% during the year. At the same time, as Mikhail has already said, we maintain strong focus on shareholder returns, as our new dividend policy guarantees our investors both minimum absolute amount and minimum dividend yield of 4%. Starting from 2016, we will pay dividends twice per year. The dividend recommended by our board of directors for 2015 equals 6.47 billion rubles, representing a year increase of 43%. As usual, you can find more detailed information on our debt maturity profile, the group's financial results, and breakdowns by individual companies, and press release published on our website. Thank you for your attention. I will now hand the call back to Evgeny.
Thank you, Kirillet. Operator, we're now ready to take questions.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Our first question from Ivan Kim of VTB Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Two questions from my side, please. Firstly, on SSSTL deal approval. Shall we be concerned at all that it may be blocked? So do you have a sense of how the approval is progressing and what's regulatory view of the deal? And then secondly, on your real estate asset portfolio, what's the progress of Nagatina Island, and shall we expect any major sales this year, any contribution to the cash flow? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your question. On SSTL deal progressing, essentially we don't see any issues with the approval of the deal, except one, which is an important one. If you recall, in our previous conference calls, we mentioned the case that SSTL filed with TDSAT, which is a part of the telecom authority, and essentially filed a petition in the court. The point of this petition was to recognize frequencies that were acquired in an auction of 2013 by SSTL as frequencies that could be used without any limitations for any technology, including LTE. And the sense of that was to take the existing frequencies that SSTL is using for CDMA, convert them into LTE, and essentially use them in the joint venture with Reliance, which is kind of the whole point of the joint venture. We actually won in the court, and the court stated that, yes, the auction rules were stated in such a way that SSTL indeed is entitled to use those frequencies any way they like, including for LTE. And in April, Department of Telecommunications of India filed an appeal against this court decision because Department of Telecommunications of India, in fact, wants SSTL to pay additional $600 million for the ability to use those frequencies for LTE, and that's what the whole dispute is all about. So now this appeal went to Supreme Court of India, and the Supreme Court of India is supposed to look at that sometime in summer, and I think the kind of deadline is somewhere in end of August or September. And by then, the Supreme Court would have made its final ruling, and we certainly hope that ruling is going to be in our favor. And if that is the case, then no obligation to pay is there, and the deal can be closed without any further delays. In the case of negative outcome, the deal is still alive. And then it's a question of what is going to be the portion of ownership in the joint venture that SSTL will get. And that is still up for negotiation with our partner. So, you know, I think it is likely that the deal was closed, will close as planned. But again, it is contingent on this court issue that we're now pursuing. As far as progress in Nagatina is concerned, There isn't that much progress at this point to speak of because we are putting together all the documentation and permits necessary to start construction, and we hope to start construction in Nagatina by the end of this year. And if that is the case, we'll be able to build approximately 250,000 square meters of residential real estate, which will, you know, bring us sizable profits 2-3 years down the road, but not immediately. We are in negotiations with several potential interested parties to buy a stake in Nagatina project, but none of those negotiations have been finalized yet.
Very clear. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Anna Bossing of Edison. Please go ahead.
Yes, yes, thank you very much for the very interesting information. My first question is on Detski Mir and the plans to roll out, I think it's 50 new stores this year. I was just wondering if you could give it some breakdown of how many of them are going to be in the regions and if they're going to be in China at all, and what the outlook there is for expansion into the Chinese market, and an update there. And also perhaps just some information on the agricultural business with the food import embargo on in many areas in the European Union. What sort of impact is that having on your business, and if that was lifted, for example, you know, would that have a material impact on the agricultural side?
All right, thanks. On Detski Mir, first of all, we're not planning to open any stores in China. There are no specific plans to do any of that. There has been some discussion whether the Chinese market represents any interest, but no decision has been made so far. And quite frankly, we are looking with a large portion of skepticism towards the Chinese market because e-commerce is currently dominating in Chinese market, especially in children's goods, and you know, we don't see that we have much of a competitive edge. You know, the discussion is still underway, but no specific plans, and certainly not in 2016 or 2017. As far as breakdown between Moscow and the regions, obviously majority of those 50 stores will be opened in the regions, and you know, it's all according to Detski Mir plan and strategy, and you know, the stores very quickly pick up business and become profitable. So we're not concerned with that. On Sistema level, we do not get involved in exactly how many stores Detski Mir opens. It's pretty much their operational activities, and so far, you know, we don't see anything wrong with it. Now, as far as the second question on agribusiness, sanctions, well, the impact of sanctions on agribusiness is only positive because it creates an opportunity for agribusiness to catch up in technology and cost with some of the international competitors, such as is the case in Apple's, because Apple business in Russia before was a very difficult business to execute because of the huge competition from Poland. 70% of Apple consumed in Russia approximately were actually imported from Poland. Poland has developed a significant Apple farming industry. They've adapted newest technologies, and they were quite sophisticated in doing so. They received subsidies from the government for export or for stimulating export of apples, and Russian apple producers did not have much of a chance because with the ruble at 30 rubles a dollar and lag in technology, it was almost impossible to compete. And now we have the time window. You know, devaluation helps, but also sanctions and embargo. We are able to actually implement those technologies, and it takes time, 2 to 3 years, to grow proper apple farms. And I think by the time those sanctions are done, and I hope certainly that in a foreseeable future they will be liquidated, I think we'll be able to compete on equal market terms without any help of sanctions with any producer, Polish or from any other part of the world, because already now we're coming to production and cost levels that makes us one of the most efficient producers in the world. We are now making around 60% EBITDA margin on apples, just as an example. And other kind of sectors benefit in similar fashion.
That's excellent. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. We have a follow-up question from Anna Bossing of Edison. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I hope you don't mind me asking some more questions. I was curious about the cost of land in Russia and what you're seeing there, because obviously you're buying a lot and it looks very good. Has it been rising rapidly in agricultural land, and what's the prospect? And secondly, on e-commerce, I mean, there's a very good point about China, and I was just thinking, you know, looking at the success of all the Chinese online businesses, is it something that you're looking at going forward, or if not, perhaps if you've got some other areas that would I should perhaps focus on as being your strongest growth prospects on a 3 to 5 year basis?
On agri-land, yes, the prices for agri-land has been rising, and it's very difficult to actually buy a good quality land. As soon as good quality plot of land is up for sale, there's immediately a lineup of people who want to buy it, and it's actually very difficult to make a good deal. And one of the advantages that Sistema has is sort of the wherewithal and the relationships and connections and knowledge of the market that makes us able to snatch some of those deals. And it is becoming increasingly difficult. If you are looking at good quality land, you're going to pay a very hefty price right now. So it's not easy, and getting to sort of 500,000 hectares that we declared is not an easy process, and we don't want to get there at any cost. We want to get there with a reasonable cost, so we have room for value creation for ourselves and for yourselves. So yes, the agro story is not as easy as one might think it could be.
Does that mean that most of the land is held by companies or individuals, or how is that? Who are you normally buying land off?
No, we're buying consolidated plots of land consolidated by companies. It's almost impossible to buy land from private individuals because it's a 5 hectare per individual. So to buy any significant plot of land, you would have to agree with like 1,000 individuals,
okay.
And there's always going to be 100 that would not want to sell for whatever reason, for whatever price. So it's just it's mission impossible. No, we're buying from businesses. Typically distressed businesses or people that want to cash out and immigrate or go into some other business, or people who got tired of agricultural issues, banks, things like that. So mostly kind of special situation type of deals.
Super.
And as far as e-commerce is concerned, I mean, in e-commerce in Russia is quite different from e-commerce in China because, of course, the size of the market is much, much smaller than in China for e-commerce. And e-commerce itself is quite a competitive business in Russia. You have around 10 e-commerce players already, of which 7 are similar in size. So there isn't like a clear winner who kind of takes it all. And in e-commerce in other countries, it's exactly like that. A winner takes it all, and if you're not the winner, you are not guaranteed making money or, in fact, creating market cap. So the Russian market is a competitive place. What makes sense to do in the Russian market and what we're trying to do now with our new Sistema venture capital fund that we set up is to invest in kind of smart startups that have a potential of becoming international, new ideas that can quickly materialize into something, something tangible, like this, Belarusian startup MSQRD that they sold to Facebook, and like this World of Tanks game that created a $1 billion market cap. Those kinds of stories on kind of early stages, and there are quite a selection of things that we can pick and choose from, not necessarily e-commerce.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We will now take our next question from Alexander Vengranovich of Открытие Capital.
Yes, hi. Two questions from my side. So first, on RTI. Obviously, there was a major reduction of revenue in the first quarter 16, and there was a seasonal effect. You obviously sold Envision to MTS. How should we look at the asset going forward in 2016? Do you expect some recovery of the revenue in the rest quarters of the year? Anything interesting that you're planning to do with the asset? That's the first question. And second one on the other assets, which you do not disclose separately, but we can understand the performance by subtracting the other assets from the total. So we see that there was some negative OIBDA for the other assets, which are obviously real estate, agriculture, and Kronstadt, as far as I understand. So can you please give us a little bit more light of how sustainable this loss is throughout this year? what portion of the seasonal effect we have here. Thank you.
Yeah, on RTI, key reduction of revenue, basically, we can call it one-off. It's a sizable one-off, but nevertheless, it is a one-off. It's around 9 billion rubles, I believe, which was a large contract that RTI had with the Ministry of Defense last year to set up a major communication center. And this contract is now over, and it's not a part of everyday ordinary business of RTI. Whether contracts like that will be coming in the near future, we don't know, but so far we don't have anything to replace that additional revenue in the first quarter or, in fact, in 2016. So that was a one-off. As far as RTI in general is concerned, there is one issue with RTI business which we are now working on, and this is the issue of new regulation in management of government defense contracts. And this issue is with the law that came out recently last year, which basically states that for every contract that the government awards to providers, there should be a special account and special accounting set in the bank, and money received for each particular project in this particular account should only be used for expenses related to the execution of a particular project, which means that you cannot use this money for corporate means, you cannot repay debt, you cannot basically do anything. It has to be deposited and spent strictly on a particular contract. That makes the whole enterprise kind of not very viable, because you can't really manage the company if it's split into several projects which are managed narrowly. And, you know, we're working on that now with the Ministry of Defense and the government. There have been some changes in legislation already, and I hope the situation will be resolved fairly quickly, because it impacts the whole defense industry, and no one can really work like that. So that is, from my understanding, a temporary hiccup. We don't see a significant revenue increase of RTI otherwise this year, but also we don't see a decrease of it. It's a fairly stable business with fairly stable cash flow and EBITDA, so you know, it will continue like that. As far as OEBDA loss on smaller assets, the only loss that we basically had was loss on Kronstadt of about 1.1 billion rubles, if I recall correctly. And that was a loss due to seasonality and investments in new projects. I mean, there are a couple of things, including unmanned aerial vehicles that the Kronstadt is developing that are in the investment phase, and that is all according to plan. Also, there is, I think, was a small minus in the agro business, which is, again, seasonal, because it's a time where you have to put fertilizer in the ground and seeds and, you know, all of that. And that is a typical seasonality. On the annual basis, we definitely expect our agribusiness to be profitable with OEBDA margin north of 3 billion rubles.
Thank you.
We'll now take our next question from Natasha Zagvozdina of Firma Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I guess part of my question was already answered, since you've given us your target for agriculture EBITDA of 3 billion rubles. When do you think your company will be able to be at this level? And are you talking about 247,000 hectares producing that amount of EBITDA?
Talking about all agricultural assets combined as sort of a target for 2016.
Right, but I'm a little bit, it's not that it's not achievable, but unless you will have some land on the sugar beet or sunflower seeds and substantial amount of land, I guess that will be fairly difficult to produce this EBITDA. Do you have the view on the initial 99,000 hectares, how they are performing in terms of EBITDA per hectare with the crop rotation that you have introduced?
I won't give you any details or any particular numbers on the agricultural business. It's a more it's a more detailed technical discussion, and we are not disclosing those numbers officially and not giving any guidance on the agricultural business at this point, given that we are in the middle of actually building it. But you know, when I'm talking about ABD numbers, I'm talking about obviously all the land plus all the apple business plus all the milk business plus all the greenhouse business. So it's all the agricultural businesses combined. It's not only the land.
And my small final question on the same subject, are you releasing the amount of investments made into the segment as of the end of 2015?
I think so far we invested around 12 billion rubles in total in the whole agricultural business.
Mm-hmm. And that is excluding the land that is under kind of acquisition planned in 2016, right? This is for the end of 2015.
If we include the latest acquisition, I think it should be around 15 billion rather than 12.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Dilia Ibrahimova of Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you. I had a question on Segezha, please. A couple of questions on Segezha, actually. First is on the investment plans. Maybe you could give us a bit more overview or a bit more insight on your plans. And from my side, the question is how you plan to fund it. I think at the time of acquisition, you did mention that the group has net debt to EBITDA capacity of up to 3x. But are you planning to invest about as much or more? And would you do you plan to inject additional equity, or is it can investment plans be absorbed by debt entirely? And second question is on considering the additional capacity that you're planning to add. How do you see the demand, and in particular for sack paper and paper sacks? Would the current demand that you're seeing on the market absorb all of this additional capacity that you're putting on that you're planning to add? And maybe third question: what is the payback period for the investments that you're planning to make into the group, into Segezha Group? Thank you.
Payback calculated at no more than 5 years for all the investments that we're making in Segezha. As far as market share is concerned, there are two sources for market share increase. Now, one in Europe, market share expansion because we are cheaper than our competition. We're in fact at least 2x cheaper than any of the European competitors, and so we have some room for growth. But also in Russia, we have, import substitution capabilities. There are still some paper sack imports into Russia, and we're planning to completely cover that. So that is one source of revenues to generate return on our investment. But secondly, and equally as important, is the reduction of cost, further reduction of cost, because we have still a lot of improvements to do on energy efficiency. First of all, and production quality and yield, which is also very important because that again decreases the cost. So the investment program is well balanced and low risk, and it's planned in stages, so we can cancel any given stage if we see that our assumptions do not work. And it's not only paper sacks, but it's also in plywood, for instance, because, we are producing birch plywood. Our current facility is working at 100% capacity, and we see the market to sell at least as much as we are producing today. We also, have demand for sawed wood products, particularly in Europe because of the low cost and devalued ruble, and for off products that are used in furniture, in the construction that we're also producing. We see demand for, glued, I don't know how even to call it in English, kind of wood sub-products, I would say. So the Segezha investment program is well calculated. It should deliver us at least 20 to 25% IRR and 5 years payback.
Thank you. That's very helpful. And how do you plan to fund it? Is there a, can you share?
Fully Segezha. Segezha is going to fund itself. We're not planning to put any new system of money into Segezha. And Segezha debt to EBITDA should not exceed 3 times.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
And what was your first question?
I did ask about your plans for expansions, if you could add a bit more details, but you have mentioned the Plywood and the Saltwood and the paper.
Yeah.
Thank you.
As there are no further questions, that will conclude today's Q&A session. And now I would like to turn the call back to Yevgeny Chuikov for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, everyone, for joining today's results call, and have a very good day.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.